Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
And that's how we start the morning. It's the 22nd day of the 9th month of 2025. Good morning and welcome to the MoneyWeb Now podcast with Simon Brown. I'm Duduzile Ramela in for Mr. Brown this morning. Here's what you can look forward to. We preview the week to come with Nick Kunze, Senior Portfolio Manager at Sanlam. We take a look at red meat prices. They remain the biggest strain on household food bills. On this, we speak to Paul Makube, Senior Agricultural Economist at F&B Commercial. And the bracket creep continues to erode South Africans' take-home pay. Tanya Tossen is a tax and remuneration specialist at Tax Consulting South Africa. She'll help us take a look at this. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Morning headlines on MoneyWeb. Tshwane to unilaterally implement allowances for VIP protectors. Business Day leading with legal vacuum set to complicate landmark expropriation case rather. Morning markets, US stocks notched a fresh highs on Friday. The S&P 500 jumped nearly 0.5%. NASDAQ led gains adding 0.7%. Commodities, gold futures 3,682. Brent 66.99. Palladium in the red 1,401. Platinum in the red, 1,401, and palladium, 1,154. The rand is at 1,734 to the US dollar. Bitcoin, 115,838. Top 40 opening call expected 20 points in the positive. Nick Kunze is a senior portfolio manager at Sanlam. He joins us this morning to take a look at how the markets perform not only on Friday, but what to expect this week. Nick, thank you very much for your time this morning. Let's start with Investec's trading update for the 5 months ended 31 August 2025. What stood out for you?
Yeah, morning to you. Thanks for having me on. What stood out for me, I think it a bit mediocre, I guess, was the summary. You know, it is ahead of their full earnings announcements in November, so we'll get more detail. So a little bit of lack of detail, but I guess what stood out for me most of all was the continued share buyback. You know, they're halfway through it, and I guess that's the best use for their capital, according to them.
That's right. Let's take a look at U.S.-China relations. Can we say there is a shift there? We heard from President Donald Trump saying he had a great call with President Xi Jinping of China. Does this suggest easing of tensions? What signal does it send to the market?
Yeah, I think, first of all, Alex, I mean, all his calls tend to be great calls, so take it with a pinch of salt. But certainly, I guess the rumors coming out of the White House, it looks like the deal has been agreed with TikTok. That was a bit of a sticking point. Sounds like it's going to Michael Dell and a few others. I think they are scheduled to meet, I think, in a couple of weeks' time, so that will certainly be a step in the right direction. But at the moment, I think the market take each day as it comes. But they do need to solve that, the two biggest economies.
Taking it each day as it comes. And then you have the H-1B visa fee that has gone up quite significantly. So what should we understand from this and the impact, I guess, on certain industry, more so the tech industry?
Yeah, I see it made the headlines this morning. I picked it up on the Financial Times yesterday as well, main lead story. It certainly looks, again, you know, sticking with the Trump administration's policy of you know, obviously America first. But needless to say, we all know that best parts of the tech industry built on getting in the best talent from around the world, and part of that is that visa. So, yeah, it's going to get tricky. I'm not sure how it stands up in court. I see they are contesting it, and there's been a couple of backtracking. But the first initial headline I picked up, it's going to cost U.S. employers anything north of $10 billion of an annual bill. So, yeah, it's a big story.
Yeah. Nick, unfortunately, we're getting a bit of feedback from you, so I'm not sure if you can wiggle around, and I don't even know if that works, but we're going to try and just get a last word from you in terms of what to look forward to this week.
What to look forward to this week? Well, it compared to last week, which was a crazy week with all the central bank decisions, this week's a little bit quieter. There's going to be, on the JSE anyway, there's going to be some consumer confidence, reduced inflation data, which should keep us busy. We've also got a retail survey a little bit later on today. And then offshore, there's a trickle of earnings. We've got JD Sports and we've got H&M out of Sweden. And then on the sort of macro scale, we've got some PMI indices coming out from a few of the European companies.
Nick, thank you very much for your time this morning. Nick Kunze is Senior Portfolio Manager at Sanlam.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Let's take a look at this now. South Africa's consumer price index for food has declined to 5.2% in August from 5.5% in July. That's according to recent data released by Statistics South Africa. Cereals, fruit, nuts and vegetables were the main drivers of the moderation. Meat, however, remains elevated. Paul Makube, senior agricultural economist at FNB Commercial. He joins us now for more. Mr. Makube, sir, thank you very much for your time this morning. Maybe let's start with a little bit of context in terms of this latest print in comparison to what we saw over the previous months.
Good morning and thanks for having me. Relative to last month, we saw overall food inflation decelerating, but if you look at what has happened with on the meat side, it remained relatively sticky on the upside, and I think the obvious, effect has been disease outbreaks, which is mainly the foot and mouth that has caused the havoc in the in the market. We earlier had the ban on export of imports from Brazil on the chicken side. That has since been lifted, providing a little bit of a breather. But imports have been relatively low during the past few months. So obviously, the domestic market has been relatively undersupplied and hence an elevated trend in prices in the meat complex.
So as you mentioned, the foot and mouth disease, would that be then what makes red meat inflation so persistent, even when other food categories are easing?
Yes, definitely. That has made, meat inflation increase further. And obviously, the outbreaks created a short-term supply crunch as a result of the inability to slaughter, which means that availabilities for domestic market remained constrained. And obviously, we see that in terms of buyers, they're looking for areas that are not affected, and they are prepared to pay a premium, especially for cows and those that need to get sustained supplies. They prepared to pay a premium. Hence, the elevated trend in prices.
You mentioned buyers. Then we take a look at consumers who are looking to obviously save a buck here and then. For somebody who is wondering, when can we expect some stability and whatever that means, because in some places, slaughtering has resumed.
Yes, slaughtering has resumed, but as I indicated, the intermittent outbreaks. We had outbreaks earlier on, and then while the situation seems to have been stabilizing with slaughtering, getting back on trend, there was another outbreak, especially affecting large, producers, that creates, a situation where supplies become inconsistent, and hence we have seen a lot of price, volatility in the past few weeks. But in terms of outlook going forward, we see still an elevated trend, because we are now heading into high demand, seasonal demand period, which means that, prices might not necessarily ease in the meat complex, ease in the medium term. Perhaps in the next, year, early in the year, that's when we will see significant downturn in prices. But for now, the situation will remain relatively elevated for a short period.
Could strong grain harvests and a firmer rand eventually bring down meat prices, or is that something completely separate from what we're talking about?
That's completely, different. Decline in grain prices actually helps, open margins for producers, but not necessarily, impact on the on pulling down the meat prices. The meat prices currently is just an issue of the supply situation in the country that has created this kind of a surge in prices. Otherwise, from a feeding side, lower grain prices are relatively favorable for producers.
You mentioned the import restrictions on chicken. Are those still keeping prices elevated?
That has been lifted, so that shouldn't cause problems. But the volumes have not recovered significantly to make a dent. I mean, we almost 30% down on last year in terms of the volumes for the past few months relative to the period last year. So on the chicken side, imports have not been that strong, but hopefully the recovery in volumes later might see moderation on the chicken side, but on the red meat, we're likely to see the trend, elevated in the short term.
Okay, thank you so much for your time this morning, Paul Makube, senior agricultural economist at FNB Commercial.
Give your money smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
The South African Revenue Service is said to be quietly lapping up billions of rands from South African workers in the form of a bracket creep. That's according to a report by the Business Day. We did reach out to the Revenue Service and no guest was available for us today, unfortunately. Now, it's estimated that the Revenue Service will collect an additional 19.5 billion rand this year from the source. It is expected to take 18 billion rand from income tax and a further 1.5 billion rand from medical aid tax credits, which also have not been adjusted for inflation. We speak to Tanya Tossen, Tax and Remuneration Specialist at Tax Consulting South Africa on this. Thank you very much, Tanya, for your time this morning. What is a tax bracket creep?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for having me on your show today. So basically, in essence, what bracket creep means that because the tax tables weren't adjusted for inflation, which the revenue authorities usually do year on year during the budget speech. In essence, it means that, the top end of the bracket is static at the moment for the past 3 years. So when an employee gets a salary increase or a bonus, potentially they would be pushed into the next marginal tax bracket. Mm. This has a significant impact to your net take-home pay because ultimately your pays your earn amount has increased.
Sure. So why was it not adjusted for inflation? The tax brackets, why were they not adjusted for inflation?
So it's no secret. I think the authorities are looking at ways to obtain more money into the coffers, for the fiscus. And obviously South Africa is not meeting their targets. So this, in essence, to mitigate that VAT increase of 2%, this was one of the only ways that the revenue authorities could actually obtain a significant additional revenue is by not adjusting the tax brackets.
Sure. When you speak of the direct impact on take-home pay, the saying more money, more problems come to mind. So if you get a salary increase higher than inflation, you end up paying more. If you get a bigger increase, you risk moving into a higher tax bracket entirely. And so in terms of the implications for an individual, who has the responsibility, or rather, where do you go to make sure that you meet your obligations and you comply where SARS is concerned?
Well, I think our payroll systems are quite sophisticated, the very good ones that are out in the market. So ultimately, this is passively done on the payroll without individuals actually being aware, unless you really understand our tax system and the progressive tax tables that we utilize. So the only impact that individuals are really feeling is that they're realizing there's less take-home pay in their pocket, and also with the significant cost of the cost of living of goods and the way the economy's battling and straining, individuals are really feeling that pinch in their pocket, not realizing that it's a double blow at the moment.
You speak of sophisticated payroll systems in the country. I think of somebody who was recently in trouble with the Revenue Service. Maybe not in trouble, but they ended up with a really high bill because their employer, and they are a freelancer, their employer did not update this. So yes, they crept into a different bracket, but they didn't even know, because when you're a freelancer, you'll get this rate this month, and in a couple of months it's adjusted. And so in terms of such situations where you are maybe consulting or you are a freelancer, what do you need to know?
So I think ultimately, remember the onus of proof always lies on the taxpayer. So there's no room for ignorance anymore. Individuals need to educate themselves and be fully aware of their obligations. I know there's a lot of a trust factor that's put into employers, but it is critical that at the end of the day, the buck actually stops with the individual. Also, just to mention, with this bracket creep, what I should also put out there is that a lot of individuals who fell below the tax threshold previously might be pushed into that first tax bracket. So you're also getting a higher number of employees who weren't paying tax previously who might be caught into the tax net. So that's also a double blow for those lower income earners.
So it's for everybody, not just high or middle income earners. It's also for low income workers. They'll be impacted as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does the tax bracket need to then be adjusted? We understand the reasons that have been given and what you have reiterated in terms of the revenue service collecting more, et cetera, but does it need to be adjusted when you take a look at maybe the cost of living in South Africa? If you have less in your pocket when you take home that pay, yeah, it's a little bit of a lot.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And as you mentioned, even the medical aid tax credits haven't been adjusted for inflation for many years. And we were also expecting the Minister of Finance to possibly abolish those to help finance NHI. I'm just very grateful that didn't happen because all these little items, which might not seem like a lot of money, have a massive impact to everyone's take-home pay. I mean, just by not adjusting the brackets, the revenue authorities are projected at getting another 19.5 billion rand. It's ma massively significant.
It is. It quite is. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Tanya. Tanya Tossen is Tax and Remuneration Specialist at Tax Consulting South Africa. And that's it for today's show. If you missed any of our interviews, you can head on over to our website. That is www.moneyweb.co.za. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. And the show, of course, was brought to you by an incredible team, Eddie, Nobuhle, Nicole. And today there's a little bit of a twist. We are joined by Mr. Sibusiso and Ms. Mosehla. Thank you, of course, for taking the time to listen to us. And a big thank you to all our guests. We're back with you again tomorrow morning. Have yourselves a magic day further.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb now, the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.